This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Today is a day that sits heavily and powerfully at the same time. It's Trans Day of Remembrance. It's a moment to honour lives lost and to pause on what it means to keep our community safe, supported and seen. And as we move into the 16 days of activism, two important events are putting a focus back on respect, equality and real change. Now, in the studio with me is Jo Ball, Victorian Commissioner for LGBTIQA+ Communities and someone who's been championing safety, inclusion and dignity for years. Jo, when you wake up on a day like today, what's the feeling?
Thanks. It's nice to be with you today, Warren. For those who don't know, I am a transgender man myself, as well as the Victorian LGBTIQA+ Commissioner. And I do wake up on these days and I feel reflective, absolutely. I think it is very important, but I also feel grateful is what I would say, because it feels important to engage with these things in a way that is supportive and timely and sort of like focused, if you like, because, you know, I mean, you can sit with these things all year round. People die out in the trans community based on, you know, violent crimes throughout the year. But this is one day where we reflect on it, we come together as a community and we focus on our community resilience and connection. So I feel grateful that I live in a place in Victoria and have services like Transgender Victoria that run Trans Day of Remembrance vigils. There's also one in Ballarat as well. And I feel honoured that, you know, I'm part of this community. So reflective and grateful is what I would say.
This day, I mean, it can be emotionally heavy for many. How can allies support trans and gender diverse people in ways that are respectful, sensitive, and actually helpful?
I think what's really important is to amplify what trans and gender diverse people themselves are saying on this day. Actually, I've seen some wonderful things that community organisations have done, and I guess we're doing it right now, is to actually give voice to trans people about how they're thinking and feeling on these days, and also to recognise the day and observe the day. So I've seen wonderful LGBTI organisations, mainstream organisations, sharing tiles on their social media saying it is Transgender Day of Remembrance, and putting together their words and thoughts about what the day means to them. So I think that's two ways. And I think it's also really important to recognise that Transgender Day of Remembrance this year falls, within a climate of rising anti-trans rhetoric. It's in Queensland, there is a block on trans adolescent health. In the last 24 hours, just across the water in New Zealand, they've now created a national ban on trans adolescent health. So I think that, you know, we're surrounded by, you know, a rising anti-trans tide. And I think I feel very focused that we can get through this. And I think as a community, and I mean as a whole rainbow community, and I include our allies in that, I think we're fighting back and we're winning. But it does lay heavy in our hearts for trans and gender diverse people to feel like there is a combative element.
Something that stands out for me is while we honour lives lost, there's an incredible resilience in trans communities. What are some examples, I suppose, that of strength or community care that stand out to you this year?
Look, I think it's pretty special, the affirmation station that Transgender Victoria run. I really do. I think that, you know, people may, I know that people are listening to this show in other states and across the world, and it is still quite unique that there's something like the affirmation station in Victoria, which is, for those who don't know, it's located in Brunswick, and it's like an op shop really. But the clothes are free for trans and gender diverse people. You can buy the clothes if you can afford them, or if you're an ally and you want to contribute to the service. But it's a place you can go in, it's a place you can hang out in when it's open, and it's also a place where you can get support for employment, workshops, different things are run out of the affirmation station. So I think that that's the kind of resilience and community care that I think is really special, and I'm really inspired by. I also, another thing I'm really inspired by is a Melbourne Queer Film Festival is on right now. Mm-hmm. And the lineup in Melbourne Queer Film Festival of trans and gender diverse films is phenomenal. I think that when I spoke to David, he said it's the most they've ever had. And he said that he sees, and accordingly, it's some of the most amount of sort of response. They've been selling out. You know, there's still tickets to shows, so people want to go. But they, he said they had a resounding response to people wanting to see the transgenderverse lineup of films as well as the other films. So I think that inspires me. I think that also in places like, you know, Joy Radio, you have a number of trans and genderverse dedicated shows that people can tune into.
And presenters.
Yeah, and I think these things that are all done by, you know, I was talking about MQFF and then Joy, are done by general rainbow organisations but are giving platforms and support to transgender voices, are about building resilience, and they're incredibly inspiring.
We're chatting with Joe Ball, Victorian Commissioner for LGBTIQA+ Communities, about Trans Day of Remembrance. We also want to hear from you too, Joy Joy family. How do we show up for each other better? What's one everyday thing we can do to make our circles safer, kinder, and more respectful? The text number 0427 569 949. Let's talk about safety, Joe. Violence against trans people can be shaped by all sorts of things: racism, ableism, homelessness, and other forms of discrimination. How important is it to talk about these intersecting factors when we're discussing safety?
I think, you know, it's really important that we don't see that the violence that happens to any part of our community is something that is expected or comes with your identity. I'd want to start there. Yeah. You know, every single person deserves to be safe, respected, and equal. And I think that, unfortunately, we're still having to make that argument. For example, I recently was part of a launch of this research called Manbox, which is done by Jesuit Social Services, which interviewed close to 1,500 young people, and it was looking at adolescent male attitudes. And what they saw in there is that there was a really high rate of adolescent young boys that thought, one, that gay men were not real men, and even higher
That's
than
shocking.
That. Yeah, it's higher, right? And this is young boys today. Mm. This is not 20 years ago. It's not 40 years ago. And the other one was that that there was a very high rate of boys that thought it was okay to be a bystander of violence against a transgender person.
Oh, wow.
And I think that, you know, these attitudes don't just come from people aren't born with these attitudes. Young men don't get these attitudes from nowhere. They actually get them, of course, from the society that they live in. And there's a lot of conversation about the role of, you know, influencers and, you know, that debate. But what I think it points to is that the violence that we talked about, that we always used to talk about what happened in the 80s and 90s to gay men, is not something that has gone away. For starters, those gay men are still experiencing it, and it's happening to all different parts of our community and the trans community. And I think that we have to keep still talking about safety. How we keep ourselves safe. And one way I think we keep ourselves safe is we talk about it. We don't get shrouded in stigma, because there's, you know, and shame about the violence that happens to us. We talk about it, and we be outraged about the violence, and we call for action, and that's part of my role.
The thing that I suppose concerns me about that is, you know, when I was at school, it was these things about, you know, what defines a male, these attributes. Mm. I mean, it sounds like it hasn't changed, and that's a long time ago. And it also reminds me that if we don't stick together, whatever letter of the acronym we feel like we belong to, if we don't stick together, you know, that pointer could point to any of us.
That's right. I mean, what this study really showed is the interconnection of homophobia and transphobia. Mm. They're actually not different things. And the other thing that's heavily connected to that is misogyny and sexism, because the attitudes that were behind all of these, you know, not thinking that gay men were real men and not caring about violence against trans people, was that it was rigid gender norms of what exactly what you said, what they thought a man should be, how a man should behave, and the gender binary. So I think actually as an LGBTIQA+ community, we have so much in common, probably more in common today than we've ever had about the struggle ahead, which is, you know, and that's why we really do need to come together and band together and see that if there's, you know, whatever attack is happening against our community, if it's gay men being attacked through tech facilitated abuse, which I've talked, you know, a lot about in the past, or if it's trans people being, you know, bashed in public places, on transport, in the street, and street-based violence, these things are interconnected, and we need to care about them together, and we need to fight them together. And, you know, I think any attempt to divide our community will only lead to more harm and less safety. So I think this is my rallying call for Transgender Day of Remembrance. I think this day belongs to our whole community because we care about each other.
I agree with you. And I was going to ask you, for anyone who's learning about Trans Day of Remembrance for the first time, what do you hope they take away from today?
I hope they take away from what I'm saying today is that it's not something for just the T. It's for all of us. And because the attitudes that hurt trans people, they hurt everybody in the rainbow community, and we need to really care about each other. And so I think taking a moment today to think about this as a reflection, to look up like Transgender Victoria, Transcend, Trans Hub. These are some of the organizations you can Google, and finding out some of the resources and just sharing those voices and sharing that, I think is a great way to start. I'd even recommend go and see a film on the weekend. I think that there's many ways that we take in content. Some of us listen to podcasts and radio. I do, but other of us are very inspired by art. There's an art exhibition downstairs at the Victorian Pride Centre right now that's part of Trans Awareness Week. You know, there's so much to do.
We spoke about a film part of the MQFF, A Good Child, with Susie Rong on Tuesday. Fantastic movie. I think it's on tomorrow night, so I think you can still get seats at mqff.com.au, but that is worth seeing. Now, let's talk about the Walk Against Family Violence, which is on November the 28th. Mm. So the Walk Against Family Violence, it brings communities together to take a stand. How can events like this make sure they're truly inclusive of the whole rainbow community, especially those who may feel overlooked?
How we make them inclusive is we make them inclusive by going. You know, and that's why I've been very involved in the 16 Days of Activism, Family Violence, Walk Against Family Violence for a number of years now. This year is the second year that I'm going to be speaking from the platform, and I am going to talk about the attacks on gay and bisexual men, because this is part of the gendered violence. Mm. It may not fall like neatly into family violence, but it is part of the violence that I was just talking about before. It's all interconnected. You know, men that take out violence on their female partners, they're very seldom going to be sympathetic towards gay and bisexual men, trans women, you know, because they're going to hold on to these attitudes. And so we actually have, you know, a common a cause to fight for. That's why I'm really involved in 16 Days of Activism. I'm also very interested in, like, I know many people listening, stopping violence against anyone. And we do have a scenario in a tragic scenario in Australia where every 8 days a woman is killed by their intimate partner. Shocking. Every 8 days. That is the highest it's ever been on record, and I believe it is highly preventable. Like this, we do not need to have this homicide rate. It wasn't always this way, and I believe that through prevention activities and community connection and things like the 16 Days of Activism, we can play a role in turning those numbers around and down, and hopefully one day them being zero.
Now, prevention starts with everyday behaviour and culture. What shifts in language or attitudes or even community norms would make the biggest difference, do you think, in creating safer environments?
I think that you've got to think about what makes sense to you in your life and where you're at, like your workplace, your community organisation, and starting there. I think that, you know, we can make the most amount of change with where we have the most amount of influence. So if you're somebody who's really involved in your rugby club, for example, that might be a great place to start. And something you could do is get your rugby club to come along to the 16 Days of Activism, as an example. And men are, obviously women can play rugby too, but I was thinking in my mind a men's rugby club when I said that. But, you know, men are very welcome at the 16 Days of Activism. And I think people coming and showing their support, taking photographs and then sharing that with people, and also getting more people to come, I think is a great way to start shifting attitudes and sort of creating a community where we actually start making heroes out of people who are stopping violence in their lifetime.
Denise in Heidelberg says, if you see hate, don't stay silent. Silence fuels it. What do you reckon?
Well, you know, I love that. And, you know, the thing that inspires my work is, you know, silence equals death. And where did we get that from? We got that from our ACT UP brothers and sisters and siblings who fought against AIDS, who knew, as they knew what we know today, is that, yep, silence does not make anyone safer. It does lead to death, as it did then, because what they were talking about was we need to fight against the stigma and shame of HIV and AIDS infection. But with family violence, there is a very big shame and stigma, which means that people don't get help until it's too late. And so that's why the slogan relates to both.
Absolutely. Andrew in Preston says, kindness in public spaces, you never know who needs it.
Oh, that is such a true thing. I think that self-regulation is it's part of it, is also not seeing ourselves as outside of the cycle of violence. Because we need to see that people who enact violence, they might do a monstrous thing, but they are not monsters. They are people of their circumstance. And I think that we need to, and as part of that, we need to watch our own behaviours and work on ourselves. There's a lot of like messaging going around at the moment that's targeting men and encouraging men to be, to think deeply about their masculinity and how they present in public and how they, and what kind of man they would like to be. You can go to Respect Victoria and see some of these videos, which is not about it's not about femininity or masculinity. It's far deeper than that. It's about like what kind of man are you? And I think that's a good message for this year, and it's a good one to think about. And going back to the point I raised where you think about those adolescent boys saying they don't think that a man is a gay man, when I made up, that they don't think that being gay makes you a man. And of course, like one thing I always want to say is, of course it does. Of course it does. Because men are as diverse as, they're a diverse as human beings can be.
And I suppose the thing that gives me hope with men is, we were always told, don't show emotions. Men don't show emotions. And slowly it's become acceptable to show emotions. So the next thing is, to become acceptable, is to treat every man as being equal.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think encouraging each other to be emotional and to discuss your emotions. I read this very interesting article recently that talked about that the problem with men talking about sport. And one of the things it was saying is, well, it was just making the point in a savvy way, but it was saying that like it's not just about men talking to other men. It's about the conversations you actually have when you're with other men. And we know that as men, when you have that intimate experience where you actually go a little bit deeper than, say, talking about how your sporting team goes. I mean, insert whatever, RuPaul's Drag Race, whatever the insert is that's relevant to you. But I think, I think what we need to do is, if we want to have self-reflection, if we want to change cultures and societies, we do need to have a look at ourselves as well. And I think that comes back to the person saying, be kind in public spaces. And you can only be kind in public spaces if you spend time sort of reflecting and, doing some self-regulation work, taking some deep breaths, thinking about the world that you live in. Yeah, being curious not being someone who fires up and reacts, look, we're in St. Kilda today. St. Kilda is a place where there's a lot of people struggling, for example. And I all the time think about, sometimes there might be people yelling on the street because they're having a hard time. And that's a part of like self-reflecting and having self-regulation and sort of wondering and being curious about those people and saying, well, they're having a hard time. I'm not going to escalate that situation. I'm going to give them some space.
Everyone's got their own story. One more. Sam Fitzroy calling out jokes that don't land anymore. No more shrugging it off. I had to do that recently. I felt awkward at first, but afterwards I felt fantastic.
Yeah, wow. I think these listeners are really taking it away. I think that's totally right. I think there's definitely I think there's one, there's a lot of things you can do around curiosity that people say, like when jokes don't laugh, and even just we hear that joke and say, like, saying to the person, can you explain to me why you find that funny? Just not laughing. Maybe not even a direct provocation to the person, but actually just sort of sitting and not smiling, not laughing, and creating a little bit of awkwardness.
Discomfort, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's I love what the listeners are saying. Keep coming, keep talking.
Joe, thank you so much for being here on such an important day, and also for helping us understand what remembrance looks like, what action looks like, and what hope can look like too. It's always good to chat with you.
Oh, it's always great to be here, Warren. And I just say I love your listeners today. They have been firing up in the most incredible way.
Thank you, Joe. That's Joe Ball, Victorian Commissioner for LGBTIQA+ communities.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.